we get
Dean? I want Dean on here. He doesn't want to be.
Dean.
I want Dean in here if he'll sit down. The very idea of Dean being in the room and not at a mic makes me sick to my stomach.
Say the say funny.
There's always a joker in the pack. There's always a painted clown.
Let's open with that.
Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
A boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, from the No God Band of last year, and the Inner Tubes. You also know her from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes in our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, we're live. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or Emery gets it.
What am I getting?
It.
What did I do?
Nothing. I'm just tired of taking it out on our listeners.
Well, is it a bad or a good thing?
This is something you will find out if people don't subscribe.
Well, now I'm not sure if I should beg the audience to subscribe or not.
Your choice, sucker.
Ah!
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from the amazing meeting in fantastic Las Vegas, Nevada. In the podcast suite tonight, we have Jamie Ian Swiss, Brian Keith Dalton, and Dean Cameron. You know these guys from the world of reason.
We miss you, Hitch.
We miss you, Hitch. The timing is way off, but we do. We do miss Hitch. It's later on. We do it on the other show.
Do it at the end.
At the end of the thing.
I thought that was the other one.
I think we do it on both, don't we? Do we do it on this show? I don't even fucking know what we do on this show.
First words out of Dean Cameron's mouth, he blows a punchline.
He's all right. Joke.
Yeah, I think that was the joke.
Yeah, it was the joke.
God damn it. Jamie, you're being mean to everybody today.
Brian.
I need a snap.
Don't take all it right. out on me.
What is it again? Jamie Ian Swiss, ladies and gentlemen.
Howdy.
You gave a talk today.
You? Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
You're
I'm
an idiot.
And you took exception with specifically didn't name anybody. What was the reason for not naming anybody?
Oh,
I want to know that.
Yeah, so it was not really for reasons of cowardice.
Right.
Because if anybody suspects that, I refer them to my panel discussion at TAM a couple of years ago about psychics and magicians. What it was I decided that we live in a... I really thought about this for a long time.
Yeah.
That was actually not an easy decision for me. And I decided that we live in a small community, actually, this skeptic community.
Relatively small, yeah.
And I really want, I said repeatedly that I believed that the work I was talking about, that I had what I felt were criticisms to offer, was work done sincerely by people who are colleagues.
You did say that.
They are colleagues. And I wanted to do everything I could to avoid a situation that would make it seem personal or with any axe to grind or trying to take anybody down. And I decided, if I'm quoting people in a supportive way, I'll name them.
Yeah.
And if I'm criticizing anyone, I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm just going to name nobody.
Yeah.
And I wasn't secretive about the work, as you know. I mean, I said the work that I'm talking about is a matter of public record. I wasn't trying to vague book the thing.
Yeah.
If people want to find out the specifics, if they want to pursue it, they can find it.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be about the ideas and not about the people and the individuals.
Right. Well, you felt it necessary to give this talk, to talk about these issues. And what we're talking about specifically is skeptics who are doing what you would probably refer to as bad science.
I know these are my words, not yours. First of all, we're not doing science.
Okay,
we're doing skepticism.
Okay.
We're doing skeptic activism.
Yeah.
And what I was talking about, the talk was called Who Speaks for Skepticism? And the first part of the talk, which I realize might be readily overlooked, but the first part of the talk is not insignificant. It is about the notion of what constitutes expertise in a movement that is essentially dominated by amateurs, by enthusiastic amateurs, right?
Yeah,
that's what the movement is. We're not scientists, by and large.
Right.
And so I talked for a little while about the nature of expertise, what skeptics should be talking about and what they shouldn't be talking about. I give some examples where skeptics have criticized science, and they probably shouldn't be doing that, per se, unless they have really deep expertise.
Well, why do I forget the guy with the bow ties?
Because you're old.
The guy, it's exactly the reason.
Bill Nye. Bill Nye.
I saw Bill Nye give a talk, and he was actually very, he was honest at the end of a diatribe about GMOs. He was honest. Are you hip to this?
Well, he changed his mind about GMOs.
He was honest that he was willing to go and listen and talk to the people, I think at Monsanto specifically. So he went into the lion's den. And to actually find out what's going on in the science there. But he was definitely preaching some bad ideas.
Okay, so Bill is not identifies as a skeptic and is a skeptic supporter and has spoken at TAM last year and at my conference Nexus in New York. And he's an avid supporter of all that. But he's not a skeptic activist per se. He's actually a science educator.
Guy.
Yeah. Science popular.
And what, it's a guy.
He's a science guy.
Finally. Dalton weighs in. Okay. Another 15 minutes.
I'm
set
trying
the clock.
To
set
do
the
one
shot.
Word
set
at a time.
Set the shot clock. 15 minutes.
I'm doing one word at a time.
He shoots. He... waits to shoot. So
we miss you, Hitch.
Okay, I get it now. It's timing. It's like a joke on the joke. It's a meta thing.
You're an idiot.
I should explain to them about
I know, right?
About the computers.
Why do what?
What? He's doing inside jokes, way inside.
You know what he's doing?
I'm doing Jamie and Swiss.
No, I'm aware.
No, you're doing your complete set of Microsoft.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. Years ago.
My Jamie and Swiss audio pack.
Yeah, exactly. Years ago, he did a Jamie and Swiss auto pack for Microsoft, for Windows. And so you would make an error, and it would go, you're an idiot. Yep. And, you know, and it would do. But it wasn't even me doing you're an idiot. It's him doing his take on
him
me.
Doing his your ver-
and
his
the
version.
Pause would be, aww.
While it's waiting. Yeah, yeah. You know, the little thing, circle of death. Anyway, that's what he's doing.
What qualifies you to be a professional, not professional, but a skeptic that's...
Right. How do you go from amateur to professional?
Yeah, professional.
God damn it.
How are you...
And there's no single...
That's a great question,
well,
right?
That's the first part of my talk. That's exactly what the first part of my talk was about. And I wanted that talk to be there because I'm not the final arbiter of what is not a good skepticism.
Amen.
Because nobody... That's two. We have to figure this out together because we are a movement dominated by amateurs. And, you know, if there's ethical considerations, not to jump the gun too far here on the subject matter, but one aspect that I was talking about and that others have talked about, I'm not the only one, is considering ethics. And we know that if you're going to use deception in law enforcement or you're going to use deception in social science research, there are ethical requirements. There are professional standards. There's oversight. There's all this stuff that automatically kicks into place to make sure you're doing a good job. Yeah. We don't have that. Yeah. We have to figure it out ourselves.
Yeah.
So part of my message is that we better work hard on if we have no rules and we have no officiants, you know, then we better work hard amongst ourselves to try and do the best job possible and not pretend that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, how do you become expert? You become expert like anything else in life with experience. You don't have to be, you don't have to have a PhD to have an expert opinion about something, but somehow you have to accumulate, you have to gather expertise. And when you're talking about things like psychic things, I would say that there is specialized expertise in there. That, you know, sincere motives are a good thing, and the desire to be effective is a good thing, and the desire to be an activist is a good thing. But then, there is such a thing as expertise.
Do you know what she did to double blind things? Do you know? Are you aware of that?
To double blind what?
So you're not aware of it. So what Susan Gerbic did?
I mean, I know from her public record of what she described. I've read, I think, everything she's written publicly about it.
Okay. What she did. Was,
do we want to explain it all? We're
going to get to it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually not that big a deal because we talked at length about it in the previous episode.
Oh, I know that. So no, I do know the element that you're talking about, as a matter of fact, which I thought
was
clever.
I
thought was clever. Well, she just wanted to make sure that she wasn't subject to her own bias,
right,
as it were. Yeah.
So
I thought that was clever.
When Heather and I were at Chip, in front of Chip coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
There were
you
things that we were unaware of.
Yes, yes.
That were able to be.
No, I thought that,
that
was,
he might have been calling out.
I thought
to.
That was really clever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, right. But I'm not.
And by the way,
I'm not even,
what do you think of her work? I want to get this right out right now. What do you think of her work, for example, on the Wikipedia project?
Okay, so the most frustrating part of my decision not to name names was that I could not compliment her on the Wikipedia work.
So you support her in that. She does great work. Work, right?
Absolutely.
I absolutely knew you felt that, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to say that.
You do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and seriously, when I went through the whole thing about why am I going to name names, am I not going to name names, that was the thing. That was like, because at first I didn't know I was going to do that, and I had it right in there. Well, who does this fantastic work with the Wikipedia is an important work.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things about that kind of important work, that is, it's a dirty kind of slog work, right? That's not work. That work ain't fun.
No, it's not.
I mean, that's just not fun at all.
She is able to romanticize it, for the record.
What do you mean?
She really... You're talking about the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
She really, really romanticizes... I was talking to her about this.
Right.
And she gets to where she feels like... You know, have you ever edited? Have you done that work? Editing like film and television and stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know how you get in there with people you weren't even in a room with when they were filmed?
Yeah.
And then when you meet them at a screening, you're like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Oh, you don't know I know you.
Right.
And you really become kind of personally engrossed in performance.
Listen.
She does the same.
I can absolutely see that there's tremendous satisfaction in her work.
Yeah.
But the point I was trying to make is
it's
that's
work.
A nasty little job that nobody's jumping up and down going,
that's
can I do that?
Yeah.
Will you let me do that and figure out how you do that and all those little markings and citations and all that crap you have to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, a number of people today on the program, and I know you don't get to see it all, we're talking about the work of skepticism being very basic things, you know, like informing people, like becoming informed and informing people.
Yeah,
that's the way, ultimately, that's the way you change the world. You keep, Michael Shermer talked about this in his talk today, that the most important work that everyone, every single skeptic does is talk to someone else.
Yeah.
And that's not romantic, particularly.
Yeah.
And that doesn't get you headlines, particularly. But that's real work. Of skepticism, of
I understand
skeptic
that.
Activism.
I don't think Susan doesn't do that.
Okay, I'm...
Well, no. I mean, in saying that, we're talking about Susan. We're talking about the work that she did with right now. We're talking about the work that she did with this operation on the psychics thing.
Well, okay, right. But we're not just... So, I didn't do a talk about Susan Gerber.
I understand. You
and there's a lot of people.
Susan,
involved.
Right. You saw what me, Susan, Heather, were doing.
Right.
And you developed a talk... Because you saw some problems with it. This is accurate, right?
Yeah, because, I was having conversations with people in the community who were having problems with it. And some of those problems were, I'm not the first to raise the questions. Dan Loxton wrote two long pieces on the Skeptic, on the Shermer site about the uses of deception.
I understand that. We know you're not alone. I know you're not alone in this. And the listeners know you're not alone in dissenting.
I hope so, because, I mean, I wake up one day and
can
say,
we stop trying to apologize and have a conversation about the details?
I have no intention to apologize. We can absolutely talk about the details, but I don't want to I don't want to create any mistaken impression that I focused on one person or that I'm one person with a set of ideas focusing on one person. That's not what the talk was about.
All right. So I have some questions that I want cleared up. I want to make sure that I get whatever information is available to me, because I'm going to continue to carry a sign every time a psychic comes and rips people off in my hometown.
Okay.
That's something I want to do. And I think you're probably fundamentally opposed to that. Is that right?
The carrying the sign part is I'm not particularly opposed to.
Okay. I'm gonna ask Brian. What's your take on it? Picketing these guys, what's your opinion? And girls.
I don't know, you were trying to think of one word.
No, I know what you're doing.
I don't really have any feelings about it one way or the other. I haven't really considered it that much. I can't imagine it being something I would be deeply opposed to.
Okay. I have a friend.
I didn't spend much time talking about the picketing aspect.
I'm aware of that.
What I mostly talked about was approaching the believers.
Well, what you did say in the talk was you've said before that there's room for all kinds of
absolutely.
Activism. And that's true.
Absolutely.
And I know that that's how you feel.
Right.
I also presume, based on the talk, I presume that you think it's more harmful than good, the picketing stuff. I'm guessing that's
in the final analysis. Yeah. But again, it's not the picketing bar is not the thing I have a big issue with.
Okay, I want to talk about it, but I want to talk about the other stuff too.
Because I really think in a perfect world, I mean, one of the things I talked about was the purposes of public demonstrations, right, and why you do that in any movement, and how you put information out in the world,
right,
whether you put it to individuals in that moment,
yeah.
or whether you put it out and make it available. And so I think if the focal point of the picket was the press, for example, so you get a lot of people out there maybe picketing and, you know, giving very simple information kind of thing. You know, why don't you come take the $1 million test or something. And that drew attention to the notion of challenging the claims of a James Von Prague or whoever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's all great. I got no problem with that. I commended in the talk your face-to-face confrontation with him.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. That's not my issue. That's putting that to me, that's a strategy for putting information out in the world, which is part of the job of skepticism.
Okay, good.
So that's not really my issue.
All right. We'll touch on that a little bit after the break and when we come back, and then we'll move on to the next topic. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
He's quiet. Yes, that's good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to SkepticallyYours.net/premium and subscribe. What does DNA stand for? National Dyslexia Association.
This joke was posted by Peter Lovett.
It's a very funny joke.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. It's my favorite ad there.
Wow.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jamie Ian Swiss, Brian Keith Dalton, and Dean Cameron. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can we talk about James Alcock's use of Comic Sans font in his presentation?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You pay attention to details, don't you?
I thought the same thing.
Did you?
It was actually a great talk.
It was a great
really
talk.
Dense with ideas, but I had the same
I twatted
thought.
It.
Yeah.
You twatted? Really?
And I got a reply from the JREF saying, yeah, he does that.
Yeah, he does
that's
that.
Funny.
That's what somebody
Has
said.
Has anyone ever said anything to him about it?
It's
just
so
funny.
I'm a friend of Jim's. That's a really funny thing.
Well, at least it wasn't Times Roman. That's a graphic no-no.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You did a show, Dean.
I did.
It went really well.
It was really good.
A lot of people attended.
A lot of people. Yeah, 300 or so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We were pretty much sold out. This
yeah,
was
yeah,
the first
they added
night,
seats.
Night show at TAM, right? The Thursday night show
right.
at
yeah.
TAM.
Yeah.
At
they
TAM,
were adding 13. Seats. We had to hold off 15 minutes while they made room for more people.
Great.
So it was a great show.
Yeah, you know, and the brighter the audience, the better the response.
You're not kidding when you look out after saying that one particular word and wait
right.
for a response. You're not doing a bit necessarily, although
it's
funny.
I'm doing a bit there. I do a
but
bit.
But you are looking out in the audience for the right reaction.
Yeah, because we really do, I say this sometimes when we perform it, we'll perform in different parts of the country and that it'll not get a laugh.
Irregardless and nothing. They just, they don't, no
right.
one laughs.
Yeah.
You know how this show's going to go.
This place got the biggest laugh
yeah,
with that
it
joke.
Gets a huge laugh. Yeah. Although, you know, irregardless.
It got a standing ovation, didn't it?
No.
Oh, I'm overstating.
I got a very loud.
Irregardless, it did very well.
Thank you. Irregardlessly is the correct.
Yes.
How could you fucking make that word worse? That's fantastic.
But so, irregardless is now a word, right?
Oh, fuck off, man. What the hell do we do about this?
There's got to be
literally.
We pick
literally,
it.
Literally,
literally
now
means
accepted as
I know.
Meaning,
figuratively.
Not, yes, not literally.
I think this happens in order to make old men grumpy. I think that's what it's for.
In my day, words meant what they meant.
Why in the hell is Zaw in this book now?
Well, why is he using Comic Sans?
Is, look, language evolves, and that's a good thing.
That's yeah. okay.
That's fine.
That's
and
all right.
The Bard invented words, and that's fine. And words change their meanings, and some words mean their opposite, especially in slang. You know, that's cool. That's bad.
Yeah.
But those are deliberate ironies. The problem with the literal thing is that it's just become. It's a democratic vote where the idiots won.
Yeah,
you know,
I could care less.
Well, I find what you just said.
I love this audience. We just are in the right place. No,
I find what you said, Jamie Retroctolus. I just want you to know.
Retroctolus.
you could have just said the word. That would have been funny. Just stand by itself.
It's a basic human need to rewrite another man's material.
It always is. Every time you're on the show, we point that out.
Right? Every time, so, I think.
It's a great show. You've been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah.
And you've revised the ending. And a friend of mine came up to me after the show and said, which ending is true? And the fact is, both.
Well, yeah, the first ending was how it ended at the time.
At the time.
And then you
the
continued
new ending
on.
Is the new ending.
Yeah.
Because I got.
Could you tell us a little bit about the show?
Yeah,
sure.
Tell people about the show.
Yeah. I corresponded
That's
with
enough.
A Nigerian.
Man, he's retrunculous. So.
I picketed Susan Gerbic. And turned it into a show.
You had been. Exchanging emails with these scam artists in Nigeria.
Yeah, I would just reply to them to see if they would write back, and one guy finally did. And he replied to a sentence. I would just say, great, do you have any toast? That was my sentence that I would write back. And he wrote...
Which kills me he wrote still all back. These years later. Great, do you have any toast?
And so he's like, I really appreciate your reply to my mail. And it continued on for 11 months. After about 3 months of forwarding it to friends like Jamie and Penn and Paul Provenza, they said, this is a show.
Yeah.
You have to do this as a show.
Yeah.
We tried it out over two nights at Sacred Fools Theater in Los Angeles, and it was very long and boring. We did one of Shermer's weekend shows, bored the shit out of the audience, but there was a germ of an idea there. We did it at JREF at the second TAM. Bored the hell out of everybody, but... Finally,
if you believe in the germ theory of disease.
Yes, and I do.
It's catching.
Oh.
Sorry.
Could have been you, Brian.
I take that back.
Dean's doing physical comedy with a mic.
You matriculated
that right now.
So anyway, turn it into correspondence. Yeah. I turn it into a show. And the great thing about it, there's 120 pages of correspondence.
Right.
We do... about 20 pages of the correspondence in the show. So there's a lot of material there. It's very dense. Thanks to Paul Provenza for calling that.
He stepped in and directed it for you.
It was way too much for me. And literally, when we were doing... It was the night before our first performance at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where he figured out how the show was supposed to go.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great. So we've just been doing it for years, and with the audience feedback, it just gets better and better and better.
Right.
And but that ending was difficult because it was basically the scammer finding my website that right. I had. And then I had to I had to explain about what I was then trying to do with other scammers, and it was unsatisfying because at a certain point he promised to send me a dollar.
Right.
So there was a point after the last TAM we performed at, which by four, that I tried to get him back online. He had changed his email address or whatever.
Yeah.
I sent him a package full of press clippings, and because I had his address, because I had sent
you would send him an avocado.
I'd sent him some avocados, and after the very first performance we did at Sacred Fools, I said to the audience, "Whatever you put in this DHL box, I will send to Nigeria."
I was there for that.
Wow. Amazing.
I put stuff in.
Yeah, and so there was money and three keys that I said were to safety deposit boxes around the world. But I had his address, so I emailed him these press clippings and said, "Hey, show's going great. Maybe you'd like to invest." And then had this great idea that I would write as my attorneys, who he had talked to on the phone ostensibly and corresponded with, Perry Mason.
And attorney
that,
at law.
And that Perry Mason, no, no. Owen Marshall.
Oh, Owen Marshall, yeah, counsel, Marshall, counsel at law.
But Perry Mason, that he was entitled to half of the royalties of this hit Broadway show musical that it had been turned into called Gone Abacha. Mm-hmm. And I recorded a song. I hit record on GarageBand and recorded a song, and I sent that along. And I need to find that because it's pretty great.
I want to hear this.
I'll send it to you. And it was a dance, and it was another long 8-month period, and I finally got him.
You hooked him in again.
Hooked him in again, got him through email, fortunately.
At one point he had said, "My friends can't find anything at all about this online."
He
did the same thing he kept doing.
The wrong show. He's looking for Going Abacha. Died in out-of-town tryouts in Connecticut with Melissa Gilbert and Carol O'Connor.
It's Gone Abacha, you moron.
Yeah, so anyway, so it was Gone Abacha. But eventually, I got him to send a retainer of
$3.50. Maybe there is a God.
Now, let's talk about that.
But the thing is that when that check shows up, it then adds so many questions to the audience about the check and what the check, because the check came from Ohio.
Yeah.
A guy from Ohio sent me the check. So obviously somebody was, he has some guy in the middle.
In other words, Ohio. He either scammed somebody else,
yeah,
which is probable.
I never thought of
that. Oh, that's what I thought the first time I saw it. I'm like, that guy convinced some other poor sap to send $350. So at the end of the day, this kind of sucks.
You're going to jail for that, taking that guy's
not going to jail for $350, but he'll get a slap on the wrist, which turns him on, it turns out.
But, I miss you, Hitch.
But at the end of the day, the first time you're getting them to send you things, there is an element of you becoming the bad guy to a small degree.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to go, it's easy for you to go, there is a God! Because he got a really bad guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He got a really bad
guy. And so you can put aside the fact that he fooled a guy into putting some money out himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, without overextending the metaphor, the fact of the matter is that he had a clear goal. His clear goal was to get money from a scam artist.
Yeah.
Who is an unmistakably horrible, evil predator.
Right.
So...
And isn't that morally wrong, too, though? I mean, listen, I'm not taking that argument. I really am devil's advocating, and I hate that shit. But I really do. But for the sake of this discussion and the best way to illustrate the fact that there are people that think these things when they hear about the story, and if you're going to be just flat-out honest about morality...
But actually, I think the real...
How do we parse that?
I think Dean answered the ethical question instantly by trying to get $1 from the guy,
right.
Not $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And inherent in that is that it is going to be a moral victory.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I actually think the ethics are addressed in
the amount
in
does
nature of
the amount does change it dramatically.
Yeah,
right?
If he got $1 million out of this guy, now we have a real question. What do you do with that? Take me to Mexico. So, you know, that's a different. Now
well, I asked for half of the money, yeah, which was like $2 million,
right,
or
$350,
or
$35,
or
$3.50.
And he sent the $350, which is fucking brilliant.
Which
is
so makes fun. Sense. He's a smart guy.
It's just the whole thing. It's so beautiful. When this was going on at the time, when he got the "You've broken my heart," he called me. You called me like the next day because we were really following the whole thing of time, and because part of the question is how are you going to end the show was ongoing conversation for months, right. And it's like, okay, you won't believe this.
I know,
and I mean, I was screaming, really, and not only does the guy discover that ending still kills me because not only does the guy discover it, but
he writes
in the other character that he's broken her heart, except
I wouldn't know
the website
that you don't
is
exist.
Discovered that he knows that it's scam. Like, it's just,
I know,
it's just too fucking much.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
The line that made me stand. There are two things that made me stand up and yell. One was when he first said, "Acknowledge the cats, Mr. Snickers and JoJo."
Say hi to Mr. Snickers.
First time I heard that, you came to my house for editing on.
No, not
on
the phone call. When he types it.
Oh, he types
it. It's early on. And that's when I knew it was on, that I had I had this guy. And the second time was when he wrote, "Be careful, because there's many fraudulent business activities going on in Nigeria. Don't reply to any emails coming from Nigeria. All the robots died."
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available in the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Really, this joke? Am I doing this joke?
Yes. Do it.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
To change that goddamn burnout light bulb everyone keeps talking about. I can't believe I did that joke. Why'd you make
good
me
job,
do that
good
joke?
Good job.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jamie Ian Swiss, Brian Keith Dalton, and Dean Cameron. Thanks again for being here, guys. I want to take us to back to you and me, Jamie.
Yes.
Before we
please.
Do that, Brian.
Oh yeah.
You're still making that goddamn show that kicks ass, right?
I am, but it's hard to get people in to shoot it anymore because everybody's so busy. All the original cast. So
yeah.
It's tough, and we're getting other people coming in. And I have Bill Nye coming on the show soon.
Oh, excellent!
We're
there
gonna,
you go.
He's a structural engineer.
Yeah.
So he's going to finally explain to Mr. Deity Donald Trump's hair.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah. MrDeity.com?
Yep.
That's where they can find it?
MrDeity.com, yeah.
If you don't know about Mr. Deity, what the fuck are you doing listening to my show, you asshole?
Yeah. leave now. Go.
Check it out. It's really, really great stuff. It's some of the best satire in our community.
A smart, smart, funny soap opera if God was a small-time TV producer.
Yeah, that's basically it.
The God of the Old Testament was a small-time Hollywood producer.
Or an indie film producer.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's really great.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, Jamie...
And I've been on it.
I wasn't on one of those.
I know, we
got to
get you on one.
You did the
Skeptic Presents.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was Guy at Pretzels.
Yep.
All right. So,
And brilliant work, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
Not easy.
I really studied
Working
for
with
weeks.
Pretzels.
No, yeah. I bought a whole case of pretzels on the way over. I was
yep.
eating them and stuff.
Yep.
Jamie, I want to take your talk as an opportunity to learn, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I did when I watched you say it. I really want to understand what I can do to be a better skeptic.
And I want the talk to be a conversation. It's not that all this work was awful or terrible. These are not egregious things or disasters, but I want a conversation, and part of the, you know, there's already been conversation and criticism in the community, but it was mostly met with either silence or kind of worse, you know, any criticism was somehow bad or destructive. And that's, we don't get better that way.
We have had talk after talk after talk at TAM about how cognitive dissonance works. We've had talk after talk about how we fool ourselves. And this is another example, I think, in some ways, of how we can fool ourselves. Everyone involved needs to understand that they might not be doing everything exactly right.
Yep.
I'm one of them. And I want to know what the fuck I can do to get things right. You know what I mean?
What about more experienced skeptics sharing their expertise with the people that are the so-called
amateurs? Well, skeptics
amateurs.
Haven't been secretive about... Shut up.
secretive.
A missed opportunity. Haven't been secretive about the work of skepticism. I mean, there's a wonderful, tremendous literature that comes from people like Ray Hyman. And I mean, you read Ray Hyman's Elusive Quarry. You want to know about cold reading and how universal readings work and how psychics work.
Yeah, but what
about... The Psychology of the Psychic by Marx and Kamen, which is a phenomenal book that's still a real education about how psychics work from Geller to the likes of Kreskin. And so it's not... Nobody's holding out. And,
but I mean about getting out there and being on your feet out
there. Well, the getting out there and being on the feet is part of what I was questioning in the talk.
Yeah.
You know, because... Again, like I said, I talked to Randy on stage today. He's retiring, and I was asking him some sort of looking back perspective questions. And I asked him, you know, what are some of his greatest, you know, what's he particularly proud of? And he mentioned the Popov takedown, and we discussed that for a while. But, not only is Popov back up on his feet, of course, and that's an interesting issue to talk about, which we did, but the fact is, of the great Randy scans, which had clear goals, clear outcomes, clear definitions of success, and had profound impact. There were basically three of those, I think, in a career. What was he doing the rest of the time?
Yeah.
What he was doing the rest of the time was just like what Michael Shermer said in his talk today about how the world works towards a more moral universe. is educating oneself and talking to other people. Mm-hmm. And that has very little to do with drawing headlines or confrontations.
You're doing something that bothers me, and I'm going to call you on it right now.
Sure.
You're suggesting that the people that we're talking about, including me, aren't doing those things. And you're wrong.
I'm not suggesting that.
That's the implication.
No.
That's the implication. There's no. Am I wrong?
I haven't.
Dean, get
anyone.
On the mic. Get on the mic. Get on the mic.
No, because you do those things. You do the education, right. And you talk, and you do that. You do podcasts and stuff. But I think Jamie is saying that you getting in people's faces or whatever that you're doing.
Whatever. Right.
That's one thing that maybe you should maybe rethink. Am I right?
Yeah, I haven't implied in the slightest that you're not doing those things. You asked me about the Wikipedia work. I think the Wikipedia work is fantastic, and I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of what people write and what people circulate and what people podcast, and these are all invaluable. You run two podcasts. These things are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, and in fact, you know, there's a lot of podcasts, but your podcasts are unique because there's a certain tone to it, right, that we don't get elsewhere,
even though
there's a lot of information.
It's a little less, it's a little less academic and a lot more irreverent
and
silly.
It's a better kind of, you know, more, you know, come see, I'm a asshole factor. Yeah. So these are all great things.
Only because you don't do one.
Because what then? because that reaches another audience. That speaks to what you quoted me about before, about I'm for all versions.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm for all versions of communicating. I'm all for all versions of informing people.
Right.
So I'm not saying anything about what doesn't include the thing that I am talking about.
Okay.
The thing that I am talking about is the romance of these big, giant scams and confrontations and so forth. I think it's harder than it looks.
Yeah.
And one has to consider what are clear goals, what does success look like, and what are the potential costs? What are the potential downsides of the use of deception, of the people you're interacting with? What are the potential and what are the potential downsides for the appearance of the movement? Okay, I mean, the movement gets bad press,
yeah.
Right? So, what can we do to not contribute that? What can we do to get better press? So I'm not. What I'm saying is that the dirty work of talking is the glory work.
Tell me, in your talk you mentioned our group. You didn't mention the group, but I'll mention the group. Investigation Network having a cold reading class talk that to instruct our others. Skeptics about the techniques of cold reading, and you said something about not liking that or not approving of that, or
no. But a couple of different things.
Okay.
Part I question about that is the notion that you're going to confront believers and explain cold reading to them when they're online to get into a psychic reading. Okay. I'm all for. I'm more for. One of the reasons that I start local skeptic groups and one of the reasons that I support local skepticism is the meeting of like minds. And part of what happens in the meeting of like minds, almost inherently, is self-education. The skeptic movement is so broad, it's so broad. There are so many subjects. None of us are experts about all of it. So it's really good and useful to come together and trade off and educate each other about what we know, because we know some people come to the skeptic meeting because they're really interested in debunking ufology.
Yeah.
And some people are interested in debunking alternative medicine. Yeah. And some are interested in debunking the paranormal.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to talk about psychics, you need to know about cold reading.
Yes.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
So you're more concerned about people learning how to do the cold reading to going out and confronting the people that are on their way into
And there's also a big difference between having laymen learn about cold reading and having lay activists learn magic tricks that are supposedly going to look like psychic feats to demonstrate for believers to undermine their belief.
Right.
I've heard that theory bandied about, and as I said in the talk, I heard that theory bandied about 25 years ago from PsyCop. I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. So, that's a very different thing than educating oneself and others about how cold reading works. That's a fabulous thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I also cited some misinformation that was given at one of those talks.
The credit card thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some information I got after that.
Okay.
Okay. Apparently, Mark Edward got the information that you said is misinformation directly from Randy in a discussion with Randy 2 years ago.
I did the same thing.
I didn't know about the details of this. But apparently, that's what I've been told, is apparently the backstory to that. So whether we're talking telephone game, I'm not trying to fuck with you here. I'm just telling you what I heard. And I'm sorry to make you know, I'm not trying to slap you with this. That's what I was told.
You're not. You're just, you know,
a conversation OG, with Randy.
OG, someone who maybe is not known for veracity has an answer to your question.
Well, that's what I was told, brother.
I'm
I don't know what to
gonna,
tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't feel compelled to debate respond that to answer. That? I think maybe he has a body of information and accumulated experience that he could speak from firsthand.
Okay. All right. I have a question now about... Really? Already?
Yes. Break time.
Where are we at, man? 45. Okay,
oh,
here
God,
we go.
It was
we'll
just
right
getting
back.
Good. I was getting... I was almost... oh.
We'll be right back.
Save that for after the show.
You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission.
And now a special announcement. Thank you.
I could have done it.
This is a big super shout out to our live listeners here in the Skeptically Yours podcast suite. When I say go, everyone shout out your names at once. Go! Okay.
I find that to be completely useless. There's nothing valid in what you just
Thanks
said.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
That was so stupid. I can't believe we did that.
They didn't even want to shout. They're like,
I know, they're staring at you. I'm not going to shout my name. My wife doesn't know where I am. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jamie Ian Swift, Brian Keith.
You're a Swiffer picker-upper.
It was the Keith that threw off the Swift. And Dean Cameron, thanks for being here, guys. Scientifically speaking, if you want to go after a skeptic and you want to try and discover...
A psychic.
Or a skeptic. Did I say skeptic?
Yes, you did.
Gotta go. they're on me.
He's parapsychotic.
If you want to go after a psychic and you want to find out if they're using hot reads, this sort of thing, if that's something you want to endeavor to do, do you think it's just a fundamental waste of time anyway?
I think it's mostly a fundamental waste of time unless you are in a situation where you really have reason to believe that hot readings are being used. Okay. And then if you could prove that, that would be a great thing. I described a case in my talk where I was brought in on a state attorney general's investigation of this kind of talk to the dead psychic years ago because he suspected hot readings, and if he could prove it, he wanted to mount a criminal fraud case.
Yeah,
great idea. But like most people, average people, scientists, law enforcement people, and even skeptics, the inclination is to think that psychics need to do that in order to be effective. They don't. They rarely do.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to mount all that effort and all that time and money, again, with, I think, some costs involved, not just money and
effort costs. I understand. You said that you're actually, first, we're putting money in their pockets, which is you have a problem if the result is null or not worth it, number one. Number two, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. The other cost is we're standing up there helping the psychic prove that he's got confirmation connections.
Yep.
So we're playing in that role, too. So that's a problem. And so I think it's a valid complaint.
Those are costs and the use of deception. And there's all these different elements. And again, just like Daniel Oxen said, I'm the last guy in the world to say that there's no place for deception in this kind of thing. I'm all for it. Again, with clear outcomes. But in this case, what was proven is he's not psychic. We knew it. I'm sorry. We knew it.
We know he's not psychic. We're trying to shut them down, though. We want to shut them down.
No, you haven't got... Okay. Good. I'm glad you said that, because the chances of that are zero. So what should we really be doing?
That's what I want to know.
You're not going to shut Chip Coffee... How are you going to shut Chip Coffee down?
I want to expose
AIDS.
Him.
As what?
AIDS.
As a fraud and a fake and, you know...
Give him AIDS.
Emery, that's not going to help.
How come?
That might help. Wait, who's got some?
I got it.
I would
no,
really
but this
like...
Is, okay, but no, but Heather, that's perfect. That's a perfect answer. It perfectly speaks to what I'm talking about. Now we get to sit around, not just us idiots here, okay, mm-hmm. but we get to talk to other people with longer experience,
yeah.
and what do they think about our chances of shutting Chip Coffee down?
Yeah.
And the chances of that are essentially zero, because what he's doing is the same thing as they're all doing, which is selling tickets to pretend to talk to the dead to people who want to hear that.
Right.
You're that not sucks. Going to shut him. Yes, it does suck. I agree. I couldn't agree more that it sucks. It sucks that this investigation that I was involved in, that was really serious law enforcement, guys with guns and shit, that we had to stop because we were not going to get this asshole, right? That sucked.
Yeah.
But now the question becomes, okay, what are you going to do?
What can you actually do?
Right.
You educate people about how those people work. You stop fantasizing about taking that guy down. This is part of when I asked Randy today.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Popov is one of your greatest accomplishments.
And he's back on TV now.
And he's back on TV. What do you think about that? And we discussed that for a while, and one of the things I said in that conversation is, isn't that a lesson for skeptics? That success in skepticism is not about ending anything.
Yeah.
There's no ultimate sting or lesson that is going to, oh, we win, no more dousing.
Yeah.
That won't happen until the earth falls into the sun, right? There's never going to be no more dousing. There's never going to be no more bad thinking. There's never going to be no more pseudoscientific claims or beliefs.
Right.
The job, the dirty day-to-day job, is educating and informing. It's not taking down Chip Coffee. You can't take down Chip Coffee.
All right.
You can tell people, explain to people, not to people who have invested $100 to talk to their dead relative, but you keep explaining to the larger world in the best ways that you can, and all different ways. I'm all for it. I'm all about the all different ways.
Yeah.
How does it work?
Yeah.
So that they learn something, and more importantly, maybe their kids learn something, and uh-huh. the next generation is smarter than this one. And we just keep the constant, you know, this is why I dispute the whole claim of, you know, well, it's just old-fashioned Bigfoot skepticism. Guess what? That job will never end. It is whack-a-mole. That is the job.
Yeah. Well, when we pick it, my goal always was to try to interact with...
No picking your nose.
Oh.
My goal was always to try to interact with the scammer, with the assholes.
Well,
that was always my hope.
And you know, that video... Now, have you put out that video yet?
We're sitting on it still because I'm trying to get an interview.
You're trying to get an interview.
Yeah. And I've been communicating with you about this.
It's all, yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've seen the video, and yeah. it's awesome. Thanks. Like that? No, like that? Like... Man, I want that thing to go up,
yeah.
and let's talk about that. Let's talk about what that means. Let's talk about what a professional deceiver, well, of course, you and I have talked about
sure.
it. We don't know what's in his head.
Right, right, right. Who
but,
knows?
You know, let's
and
talk
it doesn't
about,
matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Let's talk about what that guy does
yeah.
and what he's saying to you. Yeah. Like, that thing.
What's happening?
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I had a, just for the listener and those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I had an encounter. We were picketing James Von Prague's event. He stopped his car and talked to us, and he's one of the he's just insanely charming.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. And he calls himself a skeptic. That made me want to just go nuts and just completely.
But they all,
and
all,
an atheist.
Yeah,
they all do that.
They all do that.
Calls himself an atheist, interestingly, afterwards. He didn't say that on camera.
Not on camera.
I'll tell you later about that.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get him to say that on camera if he'll interview with me. But I want to set my goals. And when I saw your talk, I thought, and I had asked you already about Von Prague, but I'm going to ask you more. I'm going to get in depth here, and I'm going to try to involve you as much as you'll allow me to. If they say, bring your cameras over, right. James wants to sit down and talk with you.
Uh-huh.
The point is, to the listeners and those in the room, he's shown an interest in wanting to talk to me. And he and his boyfriend have said, let us see the video that you've got. We want to make sure that you're editing honestly.
Wait, he's
you didn't know
gay?
That. Yes, they are gay. And he said, show us the video. We want to make sure you're an honest editor.
God, who isn't gay anymore?
Why aren't you gay yet?
There is time.
There is time. There is time. I brought this.
We're all a little gay.
Yeah, right.
The South Park guys.
I know, right? I very much want your input.
Yeah, and I it if seems you like get to talk to a man, I'm in. Let's talk about what questions you're going to ask him. And,
cool.
And you know, I'll sit in the next room in your ear. You know, just I mean, you
we'll
know,
do it.
I mean. It's
we'll
awesome.
It. We'll do it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I want to do this. So I'm all about trying to figure out how to be the best skeptic I can. I can be is the right sentence. And I want
you know, this
I
thing
want
about
you...
something just popped into my head about that, about okay. being in the air and this and that. So you know about the Nightline thing talked about a lot. We've talked about a lot here. And, you know, and all the people who came in to do those million-dollar tests were all shut-eyes. They were all believers. They were all sincere. Yeah. None of them were professional scam artists or professional psychics. They were all amateur psychics, but very serious about what they were doing.
Yeah.
And there was this one guy, and Banachek and I have talked about this so much. So there's this one guy, the Jesse, and he's one of the guys who makes it to camera. He's in the final package. Mm-hmm. And he's like some kind of Wall Street trader or something. And in his part-time, he's a psychic, he thinks. So... and he was incredibly charming. He wasn't like some of these people are just nutty, but he was not. He just was a perfect case of confirmation bias and you know select
self delusion
and all that stuff. He absolutely sincerely believed, gentle, charming, kind of funny, and boy, we liked him. We really liked the guy.
I like Van Prague. I got to be
honestly. We honestly like the guy, and. So we didn't sit and talk to him and go, you know, you're wrong about all this. You know how this works. You know how confirmation bias works. We didn't talk to him about that because, in a way, I'll tell you the truth, and I don't think this applies to somebody like Van Praagh, but as a public person, the influence he has.
Well, you are talking to something I have in my world.
It would have felt disrespectful,
quite
frankly. I'm not going to be able to change that guy's mind. I'm just not.
Yeah.
So,
do you do when a friend comes to you and says, I think I've got, I'm not kidding either, I'm describing something that happened to me.
Okay.
I think I've got powers to talk to my pets. What do you do, Jamie? I mean, you're a skeptic, I'm a skeptic. What do we do?
I usually say something like, what are you, a fucking idiot?
You know, you do derision better than anyone I know.
That was Jamie and Swiss doing Dean.
Doing Dean.
Cameron's
doing
impression
Jamie.
Of Jamie and Swiss.
Wow. Inception.
The
Matrix. So.
No, I. That's when.
It's a friend,
when
too.
I think
you know?
You're doing the most. I think that's when. Listen, I had a friend come to me last year, wrote me an email first about his sister. He's a really rational, really smart guy, super smart guy. And his sister has gotten involved with some alternative medicine guru guy. Also, as a boyfriend, she has serious mental health issues that were under control, taking medication. Mm. He's gotten her to throw away the medication, and he's like, putting his claws into her life and acting just as any cult of personality type does, separating her in a very short amount of time. It's happened really fast.
To Scientologists?
No. Okay. This is a cult of one.
Right.
And separating her from her brother and family and their input. I mean, it was incredibly difficult thing. And he knows about what I do and so on. And we had... you know, talks about what he could say and what he could do, and I gave him all the help and advice I could, but I also had to tell him, man, it's really hard. Sometimes it's really hard to change a person's mind.
Right. Loved
once
one, especially.
Bought in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially
if they're
personally...
You can't just take them and shake them. You have to be gentle.
Yeah, and especially if they're personally involved.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Brian, have you been in that situation? I mean, you're a form. You
get it a lot.
I thought I told you that in confidence. We weren't going to discuss this on the show. You told me you wouldn't.
Does it ever happen to you, Dean? Where you have to be across from a
He's an actor. It happens to him every day.
It happens to me all the time, and I rarely push back.
Yeah, you.
I will say, you know, a lot of people don't believe that, and I know a lot of people who would investigate, and if you have a power, I know someone who will give you $1 million for it.
Yeah.
We do that at all of our things, by the way. And that's the first thing we say to them is, if someone has the power as this guy claims, there's $1 million available.
But there are people,
and that's the purpose of the $1 million challenge. Yeah, it's a great device for that.
But there are people I know who are anti-vaxxers that I can't. There are professional.
You have
level.
A kid in school right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to a school where there are people. It's a private school where a lot of people don't vaccinate.
Oh my God.
And but there's also this thing I have to deal with is levels of professional. Where I can't, if I talk back.
Oh yeah.
It hurts my career, so I just shut up.
Oh right.
Because he's an altar boy. He works in the church.
It's what I do. I suck a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
And like it.
But, Brian, but to come back, you started to ask Brian, and actually, I mean, I know where you know, came from, the dirt, the mud, the streets of India.
Yes.
But I know where
I sucked where Mother Teresa's dick. Just so you know.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the bluest I've heard him work.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah. That was I knew fantastic. You looked familiar.
Was that you?
That was me.
Yeah, wow.
I was right there.
You're going to push him. You know something about him, don't you?
But no, you were brought up a fundamentalist Mormon. You were a Mormon kid, guitar, rock star. You were deep in it, a true believer. When you first left it, at least, I don't know if you know any people still deep in it today, but
yeah,
you certainly
sure
knew then. Do you talk to
how
them?
How do you handle it?
How do you handle it?
You have to interact and eat lunch with them.
You know, I had my brother-in-law was 10 years younger than me, and he didn't, he grew up kind of being the black sheep of the family in that thing, and then he decided to go on a mission when he was older than you normally go. And he and I had talked a bit, and he kind of knew a lot of the stuff, and then he went on his mission, and he became a fire breather on his mission and started writing me a lot of letters and all that stuff, and I didn't want to mess with him while he was out there. And I waited till he came back.
See, the moment you say fire breather for a moment, I think of six of my friends who make a living doing
that. I'm totally thinking Carney, man.
I was thinking that, too. I don't understand. Exactly. What was wrong with that?
He doesn't mean that.
I should have said fundamentalist. A very fundamentalist believer in the thing. And then when he came back, he kept pushing me. And I said, here's the thing. I will have this conversation with you, but I want you to know right now, I'm pretty sure, knowing who you are, that your whole life is going to be turned upside down if you hear what I have to say. And he said,
what he said, you're going to say when we come back after the.
Oh, good one.
See
good.
What I did there? See what I did there?
Man.
Because that's it for the free version of the episode.
Now
95.
I'm interested in hearing.
Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch. Almost missed it, Dean.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Jamie Ian Swiss, Brian Keith Dalton, and Dean Cameron. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our camera switcher, Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
More Tamsters.
And we'll be talking about...
Really cute hamsters.
What? I don't...
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats...
Just rhymes.
Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, where the hell are you, Swam?
He should be
and
here.
And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron, who the hell do you think you are, Winters?
Where can people find you, MrDeity.com?
MrDeity.com.
I had that covered. Where can people find you, Jamie Ian Swiss?
If they want to figure out how to... San Diego.
Where can people find you, Dean Cameron?
At Jamie's house.
All right. That's where you find these guys. You have been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.
We miss you, Hitch.
You're late.
Damn it.